Welcome to Sassy Reads for You with Annette Botko, a.k.a. Dolly's Daughter. Sassy takes you surfing through books and her own perspective on reality. A production of Cosmic Reality Radio.
Welcome to Sassy Reads for You. This is Annette, and I am reading Cosmic Reality by Nancy L. Hopkins. There are two books in this one book, and we are reading the John Kennedy Jesus Christ Connection. And Nancy is not only the author, she's also the producer. And this will be aired for the first time on September 16th. And we are on Chapter 5. Section called The Mafia Connection, and we're just gonna jump right in. The Mafia Connection. And the probable Mafia connection to the Vatican was very interesting. In researching the Kennedy assassination, I had concluded the probable shooters were Mafia connected. The possibility the Mafia actually planned and ordered the assassination had been considered, but in the end I concluded they were probably involved in the actual execution, but not in the planning and cover-up. It was to the benefit of the Mafia to have Kennedy dead, because the President's brother, Attorney General Robert Kennedy, was leading a powerful fight against the Mafia. However, the degree of organization and cover-up appears to go beyond the scope of Mafia power. This Mafia connection to Masonic and Vatican power centers is a book in itself and beyond our current purpose. Freemasonry and the Assassination. As already discussed, one possible connection between those implicated in the complex assassination scenario and ensuing cover-up was their common membership in Freemasonry. The various cover stories involving Oswald were probably sufficient to convince the Warren Commission of a direct Soviet involvement in the assassination, which caused the Commission to disregard evidence countering the conclusion Oswald acted alone to kill Kennedy. It is interesting to note at least one Warren Commission member was a Mason and future U.S. President, Gerald Ford. Well, perhaps Ford's Masonry was just coincidence. After all, Masons are found everywhere. Perhaps the Masonic connection to the Kennedy murder was nothing more than the result of an overly creative mind. Yet, as a professional intelligence analyst, I had to admit there was a pattern emerging. I had identified the following groups as being connected with one another: Nazis with Oswald, Nazis and Freemasonry, Freemasonry and the Vatican, Pope John XXIII with Kennedy and Khrushchev. So, in addition to the strange U.S. Navy connection with the assassination, there were the various connections between Kennedy, Nazis, Masons, and the Vatican. I had started out looking for the common ingredient in those individuals implicated in the assassination, which led to uncovering connections between diverse groups. I began wondering what possible common ingredient could link the Vatican, Masons, and the Nazis. There was the Mafia connection, but that did not seem to go far enough. As for Kennedy, I assumed he had uncovered some secret threatening one or more of these groups. If Kennedy had investigated the Masons using the vast investigative powers at his disposal, any Nazi shadow group could have been put into jeopardy. If the President had identified or threatened to identify Nazis in Masonic ranks, Kennedy's death may have become necessary. The most crucial aspect to all this is until John Pope the 23rd changed Vatican policy, John Kennedy would have been excommunicated from the Church had he become a Freemason, since Pope Clement XII's 1738 papal bull pronounced Masons as enemies of the Roman Church. The Vatican had prohibited Catholics from being Masons under penalty of excommunication. Just before Kennedy's election, Pope John XXIII pronounced a Catholic could also be a Freemason. Perhaps the Pope's change of policy allowed Freemasons to approach the President and ask him to become a member. Perhaps Kennedy chose to investigate the Freemason organization and its adherence to ancient mysteries and secret sciences. Perhaps the tradition of Masonic military lodges had resulted in existence of a Masonic organization of U.S. Navy officers. If such a naval lodge existed, perhaps its members had approached Kennedy, a formal naval officer, which started him investigating the Freemasons. Could the Navy connection have been through existence of a naval Masonic organization? And what would a federal-level investigation of Freemasonry have uncovered? And again, cosmic rule number 5 kicked in, chance and thought. A friend handed me a book saying, "You have to read this. It proves Jesus Christ did not die on the cross. It was all a hoax." Okay, my eyes just rolled. I'm sorry. Okay, next section. The French Connection continued. Holy Blood, Holy Grail discussed discrepancies in the crucifixion contrary to Christian tradition, Roman law, or Jewish custom. The authors expand upon these points of confusion by focusing on various groups directly involved in the life and death of Jesus. They conclude the crucifixion was planned as a massive hoax perpetrated against the Jewish people and ultimately Christianity. This will be very interesting because I believe in the crucifixion. So if I get a little disbelieving in my voice, I may be disbelieving. But we'll see what she says. Here we go. The crucifixion. Unlike historical tradition, the crucifixion was only a small private gathering surrounding three crosses, with a crowd kept at a distance. Among mourners were the politically radical zealots, desiring a Jewish revolution against the occupying Roman Empire. Also present were a number of essences, E-S-S-E-N-E-S, representing the mystical, occult side of the Jews. Because the Jewish Sabbath was upon them, the crucifixion was ordered rushed. A crucifixion took at least 24 hours, and some men lasted a full week. The order to hurry death would force the soldiers into assisting nature. Normally, the outstretched position of the crucifixion victim and resulting pressure on the chest caused the victim to fight for every breath. To hurry death, the traditional way was to break the victim's legs, where the body weight preventing expansion of the chest could not be countered by stiffening the legs, and suffocation would come quickly. The very fact that crucifixion was to be hurried was contrary to Roman law, which stipulated the victim's body would hang until physical remains were eaten by carrion birds or otherwise naturally disposed of. Jesus should have been denied the right of burial, never mind the right to have the crucifixion hurried so he could be buried by sundown. Yet the Roman soldier in charge of the proceedings, Centurion Longinus, had orders to release Jesus' body to Joseph of Arimathea for burial in the nearby tomb by the beginning of the Jewish Sabbath. Jesus was of the tribe of Judah and had a claim to the throne of King David, making Jesus truly king of the Jews. The politically active zealots became interested in Jesus because of his purported birthright. Jesus, along with his mother Mary and father Joseph, were members of the Essenes, a mystically oriented Jewish tribe that periodically joined with the Zealots in the past over mutually advantageous causes. The Zealots conspired with the Essenes to orchestrate a fulfillment of biblical prophecy concerning a Messiah who would deliver the Jews. A plan was contrived to simulate a crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of one Jesus, which required the assistance of Roman authorities. Roman leader Pontius Pilate may have been bribed to assist in the planned illusion of death and resurrection. The plan was simple enough. By bribing Pontius Pilate to release Jesus' body for burial before the beginning of the Sabbath, the Romans would be forced to break Jesus' legs to hurry death. Yet, if Jesus was already dead, there would be no need to break his legs. To create the illusion of death, the Zealots took advantage of the custom of putting a sponge soaked in vinegar to the victim's lips in order to revive the condemned so their agony could continue. Instead of a vinegar-soaked sponge, the Zealots used stratagem, a drug that brought on the semblance of death. With Jesus' death, the soldiers would have no need to accomplish the distasteful process of leg breaking. Jesus would be taken down from the cross, brought to the tomb, and revived by Essene doctors. All was going according to the Zealot plan. The sponge was lifted to Jesus' lips. Instead of vinegar acting as a stimulant, there was an opposite effect. Almost immediately after the sponge had touched his mouth, Jesus said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head in apparent death. Thinking Jesus was dead, it was no longer necessary for the Roman soldiers to break his legs. The illusion of death would be followed by the Essene revival of Jesus, and the Zealots would have their martyr and hero, who could conquer Rome as easily as death. The Zealots had conspired to create the illusion of fulfilling ancient prophecy to acquire a man who could claim a blood right to the throne of Jerusalem, and a man who also had power over death. Jesus would become the perfect leader, a promised secular Messiah with divine powers who could lead a massive Jewish uprising against the Romans. The Essenes had another reason for conspiring with the Zealots. The Essenes needed to orchestrate the crucifixion of Jesus to give their divine inspiration a world stage upon which to play. According to evidence, the Essene prophecy concerning the death of Jesus was brought to pass when Roman centurion Cassius Longus thrust a spear into the suffering Jesus. Longinus may have simply been moved by compassion to end Jesus' suffering and been unaware of the seeming death that had overtaken the victim, as tradition holds. On the other hand, Longinus may have been part of the Essene conspiracy and knowingly ended the Zealot hopes of a secular Messiah. Septimania. The authors of Holy Blood, Holy Grail believed the conspiracy actually succeeded. For unspecified reasons, the authors did not consider the legend of Longinus and the spear and did not even mention it. So the basic concept of a successful crucifixion conspiracy is just not valid if the legends of Longinus and the Spear of Destiny are true. However, there is a string of evidence definitely indicating Mary Magdalene was Jesus' wife who fled Palestine after the crucifixion, either alone or with Jesus. This marriage resulted in at least one daughter who grew up in the Septimania region of what is now called France. The authors of Holy Blood, Holy Grail provide diverse evidence concerning the Magdalene's existence in the area of Septimania, primarily through detailing the entrenched and powerful tradition of honoring the Magdalene found throughout the region. Proof Mary Magdalene was Jesus' wife hinges on Jewish law that of the time, stipulating a rabbi had to be married, and Jesus was often referred to by the title. The only woman continually associated with Jesus is Mary Magdalene, and that Mary and that Magdalene, Jesus' connection, would seem to have survived the crucifixion. The authors of Holy Blood, Holy Grail interpret evidence as indicating Jesus survived the crucifixion but was forced to leave Palestine. Why he did not continue as the secular ruler envisioned by the zealots was not explained, nor were reasons given as to why Jesus would have to flee. Again, the evidence presented by the authors of Holy Blood, Holy Grail has proved invaluable. Their conclusion that Jesus did not die is not supportable, in my opinion. Mine either. I believe he died. The important consideration in tracking the Magdalene connection is not whether Jesus was alive and well with her in Septimania. I wonder if that's the right way to pronounce that. Septimania. The crucial factor is whether or not Jesus was of royal blood, who passed on the family birthright to children who grew up in Septimania. And the crucial evidence in this regard involves the throne of David, king of Jerusalem. Evidence indicates in the period immediately following the crucifixion, Joseph of Arimathea, Mary Magdalene, and other associates of Jesus fled to Septimania in an area now known as southern France and northern Spain. Septimania had a large and powerful Jewish community, and the Magdalene and her children were held in highest esteem. Her husband and their father carried the birthright to the throne of Jerusalem. If Jesus also actually resurrected from the dead, then his children were probably even more revered. As the great Roman Empire rotted from within, nomadic tribes pushed from without, and one of those tribes was the Sicambrine Franks, coming out of Germany to settle in what was to become France. One of the Franks was Merovi, whose son was proclaimed king of the Franks in 448. This proclamation of French kingship could have logically resulted from a marriage between Merovi's family and descendants of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. This was the beginning of the Merovonian dynasty. Merovonians. The reason for this assumption of marriage is based upon two legends. First, with a spirit of destiny story that had the spear travel from Jerusalem to the Merovonian court. If Jesus had actually died from longest spear thrust, the Essenes would likely have considered the spearhead a sacred object, as it was already traditionally considered by way of being the official ceremonial spear of the Jews. The spear in Longinus' hand was, after all, key to Jesus' death and purported resurrection. Perhaps the Essenes were able to acquire the spear, which they took to Septimia, where it eventually became the symbol of the Merovian kings. The Merovians gave way to the ancestors of Charlemagne, whose descendants became the kings and queens of virtually every major European nation. From the Merovonians, the spear came into possession of Charlemagne and the following 44 emperors of the Holy Roman Empire. It was eventually placed in the Hofburg treasure house in Vienna, where Adolf Hitler claimed ownership in the name of the Third Roman Empire of the Aryan race. The purported connection between a bloodline of Jesus and the Franks merging into the Merovian dynasty could not be ignored. During my studies of the Nazi movement, the following was determined. Adolf Hitler had a preoccupation with the Merovian period. He apparently believed there was nothing mystical concerning the life and death of Jesus. He maintained Christianity had been the consequence of some Jewish action. Within context of Holy Blood, Holy Grail's evidence, Hitler's perceptions could be explained. He had somehow become privy to the conspiracy behind the crucifixion, as well as the importance of the Spear of Destiny in that event. The second batch of evidence actually involves a number of legends ranging from the Holy Grail to the Vatican. The following discussion is rather complicated but important. To provide the whole picture and scope of the conspiracy perpetrated against us concerning our real history, we have to go back again to the crucifixion. Bear with me on this. I'll try to make it as concise rendering of truer history. Growth of the Vatican. There is a Jewish tradition, bloodline runs through the mother, not the father. Thus it is Jesus' mother Mary who gave her son the birthright title, King of Jerusalem. After the crucifixion and resurrection, earliest Christian communities only accept as their leaders those who were blood relatives of Jesus. Those early Christian communities were comprised of Jews, and their leaders were called Decipazni, Greek for belonging to the Lord. The Decipazni traced their blood relationship to Jesus through three sources: Jesus' maternal grandparents, his mother Mary's first cousin Elizabeth, and Mary's other female cousin, Cleophas's wife. In the initial beginning of Christianity, there was a well-founded tradition. Leadership depended upon one's ancestry. Christianity, as it grew into a worldwide organization, acknowledged the Decipazni's church in Jerusalem as the mother church, and cash contributions were made to this most important church. Then, in 135 AD, Roman Emperor Hadrian reconquered Jerusalem and banned all Jews from the city under penalty of death, including Christian Jews. The Decipazni power was broken by 318 AD, when they were informed by Pope Sylvester I that Rome was to be considered the Mother Church, and all further contributions should be rendered to the Pope of the Roman Church. In the following 200 years, Jewish Christian communities were eradicated one by one through sword, starvation, and attrition, until ceasing to exist by the first of the 5th century. Somewhere during this period, the Decipazni also apparently ceased existing along with their Jewish Christian communities. Pope Sylvester I, 314 to 335 AD, marks the point at which the Vatican was born as a secular entity. The Vatican's power base was built upon the Christian world believing the Pope of Rome was Simon Peter's successor, and Peter was the rock upon which Jesus said he would build his church. Thus, Peter's successors, and not a Jewish bloodline, would be the ultimate leaders of Christianity. But Sylvester I took the Vatican even further by aligning himself with the Byzantine Empire. The Vatican organized the Christian church into a structure conforming to Roman government bureaucracy, and the Byzantine emperor gave the Pope in Rome governmental jurisdiction over Western Europe. With erosion of Roman Empire borders to the continual attacks of barbarians in the 5th century, destruction of the Roman Empire as a cohesive entity provided the Vatican with no competitors. The Church had the organization which could provide spiritual hope for all those hopeless humans attempting to find sanctuary in the dark days marking the end of the Roman Empire. By the reign of the 64th Pope, Gregory the Great, 590-604 AD, the Pope was considered Jesus' representative among men, and the Church in Rome had usurped the Roman Empire. And then the erosion that had been eating like a cancer at Roman civilization and its successor, the Roman Christian world, finally consumed them all. Vandals, Goths, Lombards, Franks, and other Romantic barbaric tribes drove Western Europe into the Dark Ages. It would take 500 years for Christianity to rise from the rubble of the Dark Ages, and it did so with a vengeance. From out of Western Europe came the Crusaders. First Crusade. At the time of the First Crusade in 1095, the Vatican had a firm grip over Western Europe, based upon the doctrine that Jesus Christ had died for the sins of man and then resurrected. Proof of the crucifixion conspiracy, whether successful or failed, would destroy the doctrinal foundations of the Roman Church and the massive temporal power base upon which the Vatican had grown. If documentation of the zealot plan existed, Jesus would appear not to have died on the cross, never mind being resurrected 3 days later. If documentation of an ancestry flowing from Mary Magdalene and Jesus existed, descendants of this bloodline could jeopardize Rome's claim to power by invoking the Despani tradition. The First Crusade of 1095 was called by Pope Urban II to rescue the Holy Land from the Muslims. Peter the Hermit took up the call and led 500,000 peasants to the virtual annihilation. Only 25,000 survived. An army of noblemen had better luck, and in 1099 Jerusalem was taken. When Jerusalem fell to the Crusaders, the city was offered to one of them, a certain Godfrey de Bouillon, claiming to have a birthright to the throne of Jerusalem. Godfrey was descendant from Theodoric, who ruled Septimia after the Carolingians had gained the throne of France. By 742, Septimia was an independent, fully autonomous state, and in 768, Theodoric was officially recognized as King of the Jews and as the seed of the royal house of David. By both the Carolingians and the Caliph of Baghdad, by the First Crusade, Theodoric's bloodline flowed in the veins of Godfrey de Bouillon, the man offered the throne of Jerusalem. It would appear that while the Mervonians had lost secular control over France to the Charlemagne family, the Merovian offspring retained a birthright to the throne of Jerusalem. Godfrey was offered the throne after the First Crusade gave French knights control over the city. Yet Godfrey declined the throne. Instead, Godfrey appears to have been instrumental in creation of two organizations, the Order of Sion and the Knights Templars. Order de Sion and Knights Templars. The Knights Templar were given unprecedented position within the Roman Catholic world by a series of popes in the 200 years following the First Crusade. Both the Vatican and Templars expanded their power bases. The Templars demonstrated a phenomenal growth in creating an autonomous international empire. At their zenith, Templars were engaging in high-level diplomacy. At their zenith, Templars were engaging in high-level diplomacy by having established the fundamentals of modern banking, including issuance of the first checks and by becoming the primary money changers of the age. They owned their own seaports, shipyards, fleets, and hospitals. Based upon the Vatican's initial fervent backing of the Templars, which had been founded by Godfrey and others, it is possible Godfrey chose to exercise broad powers through the Templars with Vatican blessing. It is possible Godfrey essentially blackmailed the Vatican to support the Templars in return for not making an issue of bloodline public. Evidence existed supporting the theory the Order of Sion, headed by Godfrey, was actually the power behind the Templars. History supports the conclusion control over Jerusalem was crucial to the power of the Order of Sion. In 1187, when Jerusalem was lost to the Crusaders, there was an apparent break between the Order of Sion and the Templars. For the first time, Jerusalem was held by the Crusaders, 1099 through 1187. The Templars and Order of Sion shared the same Grand Master, indicating a close, if not inseparable, working arrangement. The 1187 loss of Jerusalem appears to have precipitated the 1188 break between the Order of Sion and organization that they had created, the Knights Templar. The Order of Sion changed its name to the Prior of Sion. From then on, it had a separate Grand Master from the Templars. There were now two separate entities in competition with the Vatican. By 1300 AD, the Vatican was absorbed by material wealth and authority, perpetuating its own European bureaucracy out of touch with public opinion and fully corrupted. In 1302, Pope Boniface VIII declared that outside the Roman Church there was no salvation, and every human creature was subject of the Roman Pontiff. The Templars were viewed as competitors by both the Pope and growing French royalty. On Friday, October 13, 1307, Templars in France were seized and placed under arrest. The order was officially dissolved in 1312. When Pope Clement V and French King Philip IV conspired to destroy the Templars, a new alliance was forged. The Vatican probably did not know the French monarchy was being attacked. When Pope Clement V and French King Philip IV conspired to destroy the Templars, a new alliance was forged. The Vatican probably did not know the French monarchy was being backed by the Order of Sion under the new name Prior de Sion. This union survived until the monarchies themselves were threatened by a rising merchant class. Realizing they were again losing their power base, the Puritan of Sion began searching for another way to dominate the world. At first, they created the Rosicrucian organization to confront the Vatican. When this was not totally successful, another, more subtle avenue was taken. As the middle class gained power by organizing craft unions, the Purier of Sion appreciated the power such organizations could wield. In 1717, at London's Apple Tree Tavern, the Grand Lodge of Freemasonry became the new power base for the Purier of Sion. It was apparent secret French history of a possible bloodline traced to Jesus was not simply an interesting fact of ancient times. The effect of such a secret had dominated medieval history, severely influencing Vatican policy. But secret history had also dominated modern history in the form of Freemasonry and the Nazi Party of Adolf Hitler. The following scenario had presented itself. By aligning with zealots, the SNAs inadvertently set into motion events resulting in our present 20th century world. Jesus' offspring gave Godfrey a birthright to Jerusalem that he bartered into a power position within the Order of Sion for the and the Templars by blackmailing the Vatican. A Vatican-French monarchy conspiracy destroyed the Templars. The growth of trade and the European economy eroded the positions of the French monarchy and the Prieur of Sion, the power behind the throne. The Freemason organization became the new power structure for the Prayer of Sion, which would seem to be what Masonic author Wilhelm Hearst referred to as a core organization he claimed was behind Freemasonry. But what happened to the Essenes? Were they simply pawns in a conspiracy, or did they really believe in the mystical powers of Jesus? Did the Essenes teach Jesus a secret science through which he was able to heal, cast out demons, and resurrect? Did Jesus really die on the cross? Essenes and Cathars. 22 years after the breakup of the Order of Sion and the Templars, following the loss of Jerusalem, the Vatican ordered a European crusade. 30,000 men crusaded against the Cathars for a period of 20 years, from 1209 to 1229. The Cathars lived in the area of Languedoc, which was the area corresponding to Septimia and Godfrey's ancestral home. The crusade became known as the Albigensian Crusade, with the stated primary goal to kill every man, woman, and child of Cathar descent. The Albigensian Crusade is considered the world's first case of national genocide. At first glance, the Cathars simply represented the major heresy of the day and posed a severe threat to the Vatican. The Cathars essentially rejected much upon which the Catholic Church had been built. From the Vatican's perspective, the Cathars posed a major doctrinal threat, but 20 years of fanatical genocide would indicate there was much more to the story than a difference in doctrinal opinion. Perhaps the true significance of the Vatican's crusade was it was waged against the very area out of which Godfrey's family had issued. The wife and son of the last reigning Merovian had lived in the town of Rennes-le-Château, the surrounding area of Septimia had been considered an autonomous state whose leader was King of the Jews by the French monarchy, the Caliph of Baghdad, and begrudgingly the Vatican. Perhaps the Vatican was less intent upon destroying a heretic society than intent upon destroying a family many believed had a birthright to the throne of Jerusalem. Perhaps the Vatican feared a recapturing of Jerusalem would result in another confrontation with someone claiming to be Jesus' descendant. The crusade against the Cathars from 1209 to 1229 was conducted simultaneously with four other crusades being waged against Muslim infidels in the Middle East by eliminating the Cathar bloodline. The power of the Prieur de Sion would be negated and only the Templars would be in competition with the Vatican. After 1307, the Templars were no longer a threat to anyone. But just who were the Cathars? A comparison between the Cathars and the Essenes doctrine indicates a possible connection between the two. Both the Cathars and Essenes believed in reincarnation. In place of Vatican emphasis on faith, both stressed the necessity of direct personal knowledge of mystical or religious experiences. Both recognized a feminine quality in life, and there were women serving as both teachers and preachers of Cathar doctrine. The Cathars denied any mystical, supernatural, or divine aspect to the crucifixion, and if the Essenes had access to some ancient science providing the secret of resurrection, the two groups have another striking similarity. With the existence of the Spear of Destiny in the Cathar religion, the Pope's fanatical desire to eliminate the Cathars and acknowledgement of the King of Septimia as King of the Jews, the Essene-Cathar connection is fortified. A case can be made for the Essenes evolving into the Cathars, while descendants of Mary Magdalene and Jesus married into the Franks, a union eventuating the Merovian kings. Numerous indicators of the many Jews associated with the Merovians and the entrenched mysticism of the kings further point to Essene involvement. And somewhere along the line, the Merovians acquired the spear used by Centurion Longus, and thus the Spear of Destiny became a historical catalyst in the founding of the Nazi Party and all that entails. Whether or not the spear actually was used in Jesus' death, the legend alone of the mystical powers of the spear may have been enough for Hitler. In believing the legends concerning the Spear of Destiny, Hitler would have made the spear a mystical tool in accordance with cosmic rule number one, reality is what we think it is. The Nazis believed the Spear of Destiny had been the instrument of Jesus' death, but did the Nazis believe Jesus had somehow beaten death and resurrected? If Jesus did die and resurrected, the Essenes must have access to some mystical knowledge, allowing them to nurture Jesus into a Superman. If the Essenes evolved into the Cathars, such ancient knowledge may have been placed in a safe place. The Dead Sea Scrolls, found in 1947 in caves near Israel's Dead Sea, were an attempt by ancient scholars to save knowledge, and the Essenes are believed the authors. If the Essenes had a tradition of creating repositories of knowledge, such a treasure of wisdom may have been buried somewhere in Septimia. Perhaps the Nazis were after such ancient wisdom when they dug massive excavations throughout Septimia and environs. Could the Nazis have found some hidden treasure giving them access to a powerful ancient science? Did such science exist, and if it did, was it in the hands of the core group at the root of Freemasonry, the Pure de Sion? After all, Nazi excavations were also made throughout the ancient home of Godfrey de Bouillon, King of Jerusalem, had he wanted the crown. Maybe ancient knowledge had been found at the time of the First Crusade, and documentation of the Jesus connection was part of that treasure. Maybe the very reason for the First Crusade had something to do with European nobility believing they had a blood right to the city of the Jews. And is the Pure de Sion actually comprised of people believing the royal blood of Israel's King David had been passed through Jesus to the originators of the Pure de Sion, the Order of Sion? In other words, are there people walking around who think they are descendants of Jesus? They would have a family right to rule Jerusalem. Their ancestors had already taken that secret family history and parlayed it into becoming the Pure de Sion, the core organization behind Freemasonry. My hesitation about the bloodline depicted by the authors of Holy Blood, Holy Grail, is it is traveling through Jesus, contrary to Jewish law, where the bloodline follows the women. But European tradition does follow the male bloodline in determining inheritance. And where does the Vatican stand in all this? What is the Vatican's history regarding Freemasonry? Men named John. In 1738, Pope Clement XII issued a papal bull pronouncing Freemasons as enemies of the Roman Church. The penalty for a Catholic becoming a Mason was excommunication from the Church. Freemasonry was established through efforts of members of the Prairie de Sion, such as Robert Flood and Johann Valentin Andre. Both Flood and Andrea were Grand Masters of the Prairie de Sion. Since 1188 and the break with the Templars, the Grand Masters of the Prairie de Sion all took the name of John, either as Jane or Jane for Joan, G-E-A-N or G-E-A-N-N-E. To me, they're both pronounced the same, so I don't know what the difference is. Like the Cathars and Essenes, acceptance of female leadership has allowed four women to be Grand Masters of the Prairie de Sion, although this may be more a result of blood lineage than respect for the female. Whatever. At the time of Cardinal Roncalli's ascension to the papal throne in 1958, the Grand Master of the Prairie de Sion was Jean Cocteau, C-O-C-T-E-A-U, who had been known as Jean the 23rd since 1918. This use of identical names by the new pope and Jean Cocteau may have been coincidence. However, there had already been a Pope John the 23rd. The first Pope John the 23rd had been forced in 1415 to resign the papacy. He was simultaneously claiming with two others. Claiming what? Claiming to be Pope? The first Pope John the 23rd had been forced in 1415 to resign the papacy. He was simultaneously claiming with two others. As tradition holds, a pope's chosen name indicates the course he wishes to set. It seems preposterous Roncalli would choose the name of a man who confessed to a total of 55 crimes, including adultery, fornication, murder, perjury, sacrilege, and gluttony. It's about six of the seven deadly sins. There is another piece of data indicating Roncalli's choice of name was extremely significant. Pope John the 23rd had voted his post in the fall of 1958. Yet, as early as 1954, Roncalli wrote his sister Maria that, quote, "In France, some crazy Frenchmen who rejoice in revelations and second sight have been announced the name I shall assume when they make me pope. Crazy, crazy, the whole lot of them," unquote. One may wonder if those crazy Frenchmen belonged to the Prairie de Sion. If the Prairie de Sion had befriended Roncalli, perhaps the pope changed Vatican policy against Freemasonry in consideration of the Masonry's core group, the Prairie de Sion. One confusing aspect to this story is that, unlike the well-known Freemasons and Rosicrucians, until the 1950s, the Prairie de Sion had no public life. However, beginning in 1956, data concerning the Prairie de Sion and other connected subjects began to be publicly released in bits and pieces. At the time of John Kennedy's assassination in 1963, Jean Cocteau was Jean John the 23rd, Grand Master of the Prairie de Sion. During his reign, which began in 1956, data began being released in bits and pieces concerning the existence of the Prairie de Sion. By 1982, the authors of Holy Blood, Holy Grail had knit together this data and written their book about the secret organization. In light of Pope John the 23rd's common name with the Grand Master of the Prairie de Sion, Jean Cocteau, Jean XXIII, the Pope's statements to his sister Maria Roncalli and his history of involvement with France, it is conceivable the Pope would have been working in concert with Jane Cocteau towards some common end, regardless of what that end might have been. The Pope's attitude toward Masonry may have set the stage for American Masons to approach the Catholic President Kennedy to join their ranks. I'm very confused. Okay. What did they know? If John Kennedy used the vast powers of his office to investigate the Freemasons, he may also have discovered the crazy connections I have uncovered. Perhaps there is a Nazi group within Masonic ranks, still intent upon world conquest. Pope John XXIII may have been contacted by Kennedy to further understand the Pope's involvement. Perhaps there is a worldwide organization of immense power, believing as Italy's P2 Masonic fascist organization of the 1970s believed, governments could be conquered by putting your own people in positions of power. If such an organization existed, Kennedy's best bet for a government still free from the influence of such a world organization would be the Soviet Union. Kennedy may have found a need to circumvent his own government channels to talk directly to Khrushchev by way of Norman Cousins. According to Robert Kennedy, in his own words, page 258, he and Georgi Bolshako developed a link between the Russian and the U.S. leaders. As Bolshakov was attached to the Russian embassy in a minor position, this communication avenue is considered a back channel. Thus, the concept of back channel communications was an established practice between the two superpowers. Robert Kennedy gives examples of how this back channel with Bolshakov affected world affairs. While this particular communication avenue was ended when Bolshakov's position became publicized, it goes to show a willingness on the part of Kennedy administration to circumvent State Department channels in favor of less formal communications. If Norman Cousins was being used as an envoy between Kennedy, Khrushchev, and the Pope, I found myself wondering what the subjects of the messages were. In addition to my already well-developed suspicions concerning the Freemasons and Puri de Sion, the fact John Kennedy, Pope John XXIII, and Jean Cocteau all died in 1963 made me suspicious there could exist a worldwide fascist organization beyond even the Puri de Sion. I again wondered about Nazis on the loose. Blackmail of Russia. And again there was an acquaintance providing further data to fuel my paranoia. Another army friend told me he had read an article in a John Birch Society publication claiming David Rockefeller went to Russia days before the Warren Commission released their report. Rockefeller supposedly met with the USSR Politburo, which actually governed the Soviets. Rockefeller had with him two versions of the same Life magazine edition, where the only difference was a set of photographs taken from Zapruder's film of the assassination. In one version, the frame showing Kennedy's head flying backwards was captioned, indicating the photo demonstrated Kennedy was killed from a bullet fired from in front of the limousine. The second version replaced this photograph with another, captioned to indicate Kennedy was hit from behind. Rockefeller allegedly told the Politburo that if they did not get rid of Khrushchev, the Warren Commission would conclude there was a KGB conspiracy ordered by Khrushchev to kill the president, and war could likely be the outcome. If Khrushchev was forced to step down, the Warren Commission would conclude Oswald acted alone. Khrushchev resigned his office in October 1964. David Lifton found the October 2, 1964 Life magazine issue, which carried 10 Zapruder frames, each a full half page. The official issue showed frame 313 with a caption indicating the forward exploding head demonstrating a rear shot. Lifton also found the second version where frame 313 was replaced by 323 showing the president's head and shoulders touching the rear seat of the car, with a caption concerning the head snapping to one side. Of course, I did not actually see the John Birch article, and even if I had, there was no way I could prove its accusations concerning Rockefeller's role. However, the very existence of two versions of the Life edition and the fact Khrushchev did resign makes me begrudgingly admire the scheme. Not only did they kill the president, they set up Oswald to make it look like a Soviet hit. The Soviet connection could be used to persuade the Warren Commission to overlook bothersome evidence. It also was used to blackmail the Politburo into getting rid of Kennedy's possible ally against the worldwide fascist organization. The other ally was Pope John XXIII, who died of cancer, as did Jack Ruby. This cancer connection I found interesting. During Nixon's administration, Attorney General John Mitchell's wife, Martha, claimed she was being injected with cancer cells to keep her from talking about what she knew. Did someone have a fast-acting cancer to use as the ultimate murder weapon? Martha died of a fast-acting cancer after being labeled a bit crazy. While it would not be difficult to label me a bit crazy either, Kennedy killed by a Nazi conspiracy involving Freemasons, the Vatican, the U.S. Navy, and Secret Service, and the Dallas Sheriff's Department, crazy talk, except an enormous amount of evidence was pointing to that conclusion. And we're going to stop there. Next, I think, is just evidence review. We're almost done with this chapter that has been going on for forever. And I am confused, but maybe I just have a very simple brain. I hope you guys are keeping up. I hope you're understanding a little bit better than I am. I apologize for all of these frickin' words that I cannot pronounce to save my life. And I guess that's it today. I will see you next time. Well, I won't see you. You'll hear me next time. Or you won't if you decide not to listen. But in any case, thank you very much. And we'll try again next week. Thank you. Bye.
You have been listening to Sassy Reads for You with Annette Bobko, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio. Radio player and archives can be found at cosmicreality.com.